Thanks for listening to The Drive with Big Al and D-Mac, on demand, brought to you by SEL Mortgage, the leaders in Colorado of special circumstance lending, helping everyone, including people with unusual financing needs. Locally owned and operated. Visit MySpecialMortgage.com. That's MySpecialMortgage.com.
104.3 The Fan presents Big Al and D-Mac with a big story of the day.
Kyle's very in for Big Sexy. Big Sexy's doing a food thing, right? Is that what he's doing today? He's Big Sexy, if you don't know, not only is he the highly esteemed producer of this show and runs our board day in and day out, but Big Sexy has this burgeoning career as like a food person. He's a competitive food eater. He has become a food judge. He has a collection of minor league baseball food hats. Alfred, he is trying to find a niche that is, I don't know. He's trying to find his niche. So he's got a day off because he's judging food. I mean, good for Big Sexy. He's got vacation time. He might as well use it. I mean, could you, Alfred, see Big Sexy as a successful... Could he eclipse all of us in the word of food?
I think he could, because who is Guy Fieri? I mean, he's just a guy.
Who is Guy Fieri?
Right? I mean, just talk.
No,
just
no,
talk
seriously, who is Guy Fieri? What?
Okay, so Big Sexy has a chance to grow and be a successful person in the food critic world, I believe, or just... You know, it tell people
he's
where the greatest eats are.
He's
I know. Where are the great eats in Denver? If he just put a Big Sexy's,
I don't know,
best place for grub.
Yeah,
I probably would go. I probably would go for it and believe it.
Now let me ask you this, Kyle Berry: do we get Major League Baseball Network in the studio here?
No.
So me and Al can't watch the Rockies game, but you can.
Yes.
What's the score right now?
Yeah, I don't know. I can't see it. I think they're winning.
5-5.
5-5?
5-5.
It was just 5-2. What happened?
Top of the fourth.
Oh, my God. The Rockies. I'm just losing it. Did you watch last night at all?
A little bit. Got through a little bit and then
you know
went
who
out
was pitching last night? Kyle Freeland against Madison Baumgartner.
Yeah, and that was a great matchup. I mean.
It was a great matchup.
Both
of them went scoreless through seven innings.
I know. And, of course, we hand it over to our bullpen.
Yeah. Then we get into the ninth.
They do, too, though, you know, so.
Right. Same for both teams. They think so much of Bumgarner as a hitter. They had him hit in the bottom of the seventh, even though he wasn't going to pitch in the eighth inning.
Right.
And I believe he struck out. Like, last night was a classic.
He asked for that, you know, like Otani was asking for it. I bet you Bumgarner said, hey, man, I want my at-bats.
Well, so what he asked for? He doesn't get to decide that.
Is he better than your eighth or ninth hitter?
He better not be. If he is, you got a problem in your organization.
Maybe he's just a great player.
He's not. He shouldn't be that great. If you can't find hitters, if you can't find backup infielders and outfielders, who are better hitters than a pitcher, you got problems, man. I thought it was a curious move. And I believe between the two of them, Freeland and Bumgarner, I think they struck out like five times altogether. It's the classic. I mean, I'll look it up because I don't know the box score off the top of my head. But these two are like, you know, real pitchers, right, Al? Like they're real
right.
Hitters in terms of pitch. And they just struck out. The dumbest thing we have going right now in sports, I don't know if it's the dumbest, but it's got to be top five, is pitchers hitting. Do you realize that that's only a rule in the National League? Like anywhere? Do you realize on every single level of baseball, everywhere else in the world?
Even in college?
Yes, in college. College, high school. Youth League, T-ball, Japan, Mexico, minor leagues, summer baseball. The only
place that does is in the NL.
That's it. How preposterous is that?
I didn't know that.
Yeah. World Baseball Classic, All-Star Game, if you're in a National League city, they make you have that stupid rule. But yeah, it's only the National League. Here, let me see the box score from last night real quick.
A lot of zeros and then one.
Yeah, I'm sitting there watching in the bottom of the ninth, and tell me you didn't have the same feeling, those of you who are watching. It's like, how are we going to give this one away? And boom goes the dynamite. Musgrave. And I'm like, yeah, is he on the team? And then Kyle told me he's thrown 12 innings this month. And I'm like, I'd like to think I pay attention to the Rockies. And yeah, not so much. Yeah, Freeland. Oh, he was, Freeland was 0 for 2 with only one strikeout, so he made out another way. And Bumgarner was 0 for 3 with two strikeouts, so sorry. Five at-bats, three strikeouts, no hits amongst the five plate appearances. Neither one of them got on base either time. Just nothing. Nothing. And these two are good hitters, supposedly. Freeland's average is a rocketing .094. His on-base percentage is a dazzling .147. See where I'm going here, right? Bumgarner, as good as he is, Al, as a hitter, you realize he doesn't have a hit this year. His batting average is zero. Yeah. So there you go. That's those guys. Those are two of your better hitters. So Rocky's tanking out, and people are, I think they're on life. I don't think they're done, but I think they're on life support. Your take on the Rockies' status these days, Alfred?
Right now, we really are on life support. I mean, in a game right now where we're tied, is it still 5-5?
They were winning 5-2. Who knows? We can't actually see the game in here. But and it's not on AT&T Sportsnet? No.
You know, I said that the thing to do for the Rockies is compete at the same level of your National League cohorts. And guess what? They are. They're just coming up a little short. Pitching has been there. The hitting has been there.
What? And what are you talking about?
I'm talking about in this San Francisco series.
You're kidding.
On this road trip.
They scored zero last
night.
Yeah,
I'm just saying. But the pitching was there. Our starting pitching was good.
All right.
Okay, we matched them.
I'll give you that.
Okay, we matched them, and then we lost it with our bullpen.
Walk-off homer.
You know, so that's where we're at. We're not embarrassing ourselves with a one game against the Giants.
You want to give them a ribbon? Maybe some cookies or some orange slices?
No, I'm just telling you that, you know, pitchers are vital to the success, but when you don't have good base running, and, you know, that certainly happened, two nights ago, well, it kind of blows away your theory, but everything, I mean, the games have been tight. But 0 for 2.
Did you see the College World Series baseball game?
I saw you did before we left out of here.
You didn't see the end of it?
No.
Oh, my God.
But I did see the highlights.
Did you hear about it?
Yeah, I saw the highlights.
Unbelievable.
Everything that happened there was a little bizarre, huh? Way to keep them in it.
Unbelievable. It was unbelievable. We got some of the highlights.
I mean, right behind the first base. I mean, that.
Well, here we go. So it's 3-2.
Mm-hmm.
And the leadoff guy gets on for Oregon State. It's the top of the ninth. And Oregon State is down 3-2. So they got to score, and then they got to hold them. So what do you got to do, Al, when you got to score at Rockies? Everybody pay attention. You're down by one run. What do you got to do? What's the first thing you got to do? Got to get on base. Leadoff hitter walks. Way to go. What do we want to do now, ladies and gentlemen? Want to move him over. Second guy bunts Clayton to second. Now what do you want to do?
Now let's get a single.
Now we got to get a hit, right?
Yeah, let's get a single.
And if we can't get a single, if we can't get a hit, at the very, 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 very least, let's put the ball in play and move him over to third base to give ourselves a shot, right? Like,
right.
Let's try to make it easier for ourselves somehow. Let's do something positive. Nick Madrigal, who's the fourth overall pick in the draft, one of the best players in the country, fights off a two-strike pitch and grounds out to first base, advancing the runner to third.
Okay.
But here we go. If Arkansas can get one more out, they win the World Series. If they can get one more out.
He's coming in hard. He wants it. Overruns it. Wants it way too much. As soon as he bumps into Gates, he had no chance at it.
Talk about nerves. Oregon State given another lifeline.
Do you understand what just happened? It's a high pop-up in foul territory past first base, but it's past first base. It's high enough so the right fielder, Al, could have made the should have made the play.
Who was that? The second baseman? Was that the shortstop who charged over that just came out of nowhere to break it all up?
No. It was between the second baseman, first baseman, and right fielder. Now, the person with the hardest play is the first baseman by far.
Well, it looked like he had the best beat on the ball. He was just trying to locate.
Hardest play for sure is the first baseman. The second baseman, it's a tough play.
Man, he came out. I mean, he looked like he was a linebacker in coverage.
Because you're running sideways on a ball that it's still a tough play. It's not quite as tough as the first baseman, but it's tough. The easiest play is the right fielder. You're running straight in on the ball.
You're right.
You have the best angle, everything. But you know what you got to have, Al?
Communication.
That's right. You gotta want to make the play. Any kid who plays ball out there, you gotta want the ball to be hit to you. You gotta want to make the play. It was the right fielder's ball all the way. And instead of screaming, I got it, and catching it, the second baseman overruns it. The first baseman just is kinda, it was a tough play no matter what. The right fielder just gave way to allow the second baseman, and Al, it just dropped between the three of them.
Yeah, no doubt. It was ugly.
I mean, are you kidding me?
Two nights in a row. We've seen plays
the
like
next
that.
Pitch, or a couple pitches later, whenever it was, base hit, drives the run in. Unreal. So now the game is tied, and there's a runner on first base. So if you're Arkansas, do you understand Sue Wee Pig and all this? You are a pop-up away from winning the national championship. And because you didn't communicate and you didn't make that play, first of all, props to the hitter, right, for getting his act together and driving the ball and putting the ball in play and getting a base hit. The next batter, Al, for Oregon State.
Larnach's 18 homers leads the team. Gets one to hit, drives it to right. This one is deep. This one is gone. Trevor Larnach's 19th, and Oregon State roars to the top. Here on the ninth, they now lead it 5-3.
And that's what they would win the game by. So, tonight is a, you should be watching tonight, Al. You love championship games. It's one win. That's it. It means everything. It's a season that's been going on since early February. It concludes tonight. It's the last college baseball game out there. It is stocked with future major leaguers, by the way. Tons of future major leaguers playing on these teams.
And yet it still doesn't feel big to me.
Oh, my God. It's so big. It's ridiculous. It's absurdly big. How does this not feel big to you?
I don't know. You know what I did yesterday while you were watching the College Football World Series?
College Baseball World Series.
I mean, College Baseball World Series. I watched Super Bowl 51 again.
Yeah, how'd that go?
It went great.
Yeah.
So many times over and over.
Did the Patriots still win?
Patriots won.
Yeah,
Patriots beat the Falcons, but how many times they were put in bad situations and how many times the Falcons could have won that game? That's what I did. That's more fun than watching the college baseball right now.
Yeah.
And quite frankly, it's more fun to me than watching the Rockies right now, too. Watching the biggest moments, the biggest games and the biggest moments. If there was a TV station that was just built for that in sports, that's where I would probably live.
I'll watch the U.S. Open again. You told me if it was a Tiddlywinks national championship, you'd watch it.
But tonight, maybe I'll watch. Maybe tonight I'll watch. But I mean, I don't know, man. It's just
something
about it.
I mean,
it's something about it.
this is I'm not only
that
moments.
Big of, I'm not that big of a baseball fan to
who
watch
cares if you're a
baseball.
Fan. You understand the
it just doesn't,
meaning
it,
of the situation.
I don't know if any of those guys will ever make it to the next level. And
they're all, I, there I, are a lot I, of them are going to make it to the next level.
I'm going to be totally honest with you.
Tons
the
of
first
them are.
Time, the first time that I saw a college baseball game and I paid attention was like 4 years ago. Up until then, you know, college baseball was something to do until training camp started. You know, that's what's on ESPN because that's all they can sell. So, I mean, I know you are in it. I know you're in it, and I know there may be a section of fans that are in
dude,
it.
Dude, you don't find their drama in the fact a pop-up could have won it,
I've seen enough of the highlights and enough of the game to be able to talk about it, but it's just, you know, it's college baseball.
Oh, my gosh.
It's, you know.
Okay.
It's
the beauty of sports, man.
I know. I'm watching tonight, though. I'll watch tonight because I'm having dinner with friends, and I'll watch tonight.
Don't worry about it. We don't need you. You don't have
to. It's okay.
Don't worry about it.
Arkansas and Oregon State.
Yeah.
Follow the marbles.
That's it.
Who can pitch?
Well, nobody really. They don't really. I mean, that's kind of the story. Nobody really has anybody at this point. So they're going to have to.
Are you disallowed to?
Oh, you can pitch anybody you want as often as you
really?
Want. Oh, there's no pitching rules in college baseball, just like there's no pitching rules in Major League Baseball.
Okay.
You realize in Major League Baseball, if you wanted to, you could take your pitcher, stick him out in left field, bring in another pitcher, take your left fielder out, have that pitcher throw to one guy, then take him out, put in a new left fielder, put your pitcher that you just put out in left field back on the mound.
Right.
There's no rules in terms of pitching. Well, you can do that in baseball in general, but, you know, you can throw as many pitches as you want. You can use them as much as you want. So
would
these
it be unethical to grind out a guy who's...
Oh, no, you'll see it tonight. You'll see guys go for starters, go for an inning, but you see that in the World Series, too.
Oh, no doubt.
There's nothing left if you've got anything. So, you know, if you got a starting pitcher for game one 2 days ago, hey, man, can you get me 30 pitches tonight? Can you get me an out tonight? What can you do for me tonight? Tonight is all we have left. It's awesome. It's just so, hey, man, it's exciting. Down to the wire. I'm pumped. Me and my son were watching it, and we know all these players, and he's videotaping the TV, and we're yelling and screaming and jumping up and down. I mean, because we're big Oregon State fans. We have nothing against Arkansas, but we've been rooting for Oregon State for a couple years now.
Why?
Saw them at Arizona State a couple years ago, and we were just blown away with how they play baseball. And then we found out more about Pat Casey and Oregon State in terms of their baseball program itself, and we've just been fans. We've just been following them. And in my son's process, where he's reaching out to schools, they have been so kind and responded so often to, you know, he's not. I wouldn't even come close to say that he's being recruited by Oregon State, but at least they respond. At least they're, like, nice about it, Al. You know, they cross their T's and dot their I's on everything. And there's a reason. It's not a coincidence that they're as good as they are. And we just really like them. We love how they play. They're kind of an undersized team. They're not overwhelming with their size. And they just play great baseball. Really aggressive. Really exciting. Bunch of guys under 6 foot tall on that team. It's really cool. And who can root for the SEC in anything? Let's be honest. Seriously. Can anybody here root for an SEC team in anything? Are there really Alabama fans here in Colorado who aren't from Alabama? Or didn't go to school in Alabama?
Yes, you can!
Al, how can you root for the SEC in anything?
I don't know if I necessarily root for the SEC. I just want the best players to play the best that they can play.
Yeah, but at some
and
point,
whoever
you,
that is,
you get, you know, we're Pac-12, even though we don't have baseball here, we're Pac-12. Do you know how great it is, by the way, that CU is in the Pac-12? Do you know how awesome I think that is? I mean, I know it goes against how you grew up and where you played, and nothing to take away.
I mean, you just basically took like 100 years of rivalry away.
I know, I understand. But okay. What conference would you rather be in?
There's no conference I would rather be in. It's just that it's You know, I guess it's starting to come around, but I mean, we don't have any natural rivalries. To say that our big game of the year is against Utah, I think is just, you know, whatever.
Yeah, but maybe in the future, big games against UCLA. Wouldn't that be awesome?
It's not, because UCLA's big game is against USC.
Yeah, but like, we never had that anyways. Nebraska's big game was never against Colorado.
It was our big game if they didn't want to recognize
it. It was our big game, but it wasn't their big game. Who was their big game, Nebraska? It had to be Oklahoma, right?
Yeah, it had to be.
So we never had it, like, both ways. Ever.
I think we did.
With who?
For a while there.
With Nebraska?
Oh, yeah. I mean, we won the national championship before Nebraska did.
So,
you know that, right?
I understand. But Nebraska would rather beat CU than beat Oklahoma?
Would they?
Yeah. Because it's only a rivalry if it goes both ways, by the way.
Right. No, I think that Nebraska and Oklahoma have longstanding rivalries that surpass CU and anybody.
It's why CSU and CU can never be rivals. Not really.
No, because, you know, we expect to win against CSU. CSU is going to show up around Labor Day, and they'll be really excited and, you know, we'll do what we're supposed to do, and then that we don't have to talk about CSU no more.
There you go. You know, it's fun just to piss off people from CSU just every now and then. Hashtag
is this the last year? Is this the last year of our series?
Oh,
with
I
them?
Hope so. That thing has run its course. Yeah. That thing, it should be once every 3 years.
It would have been nice to be able to play against Air Force and Wyoming.
It should be a Wyoming CSU Air Force rotation.
Right.
It should. The Rocky Mountain Showdown should be CU every year. Again, CSU, Air Force, and Wyoming. That should be the Rocky Mountain Showdown. And if you're from CSU and you hate my guts for hearing that and say, why can't it be CSU against those three schools? Sorry. It's just not the way it is.
Well.
And everybody knows it. It would make the games against CSU once every 3 years a lot more fun and a lot more interesting. Right now, it's practically meaningless.
We talking about practice.
Yeah.
I don't.
They're important games. They got to win.
It was going to be a, you know.
But who cares? Nobody cares anymore. It used to be exciting. Remember when we used to have pepper spray and, you know, riot police and sold out stadiums?
Right.
And
that was when they had, you know, the game was on a Friday or Saturday
night.
Oh, my goodness. That was.
Now it's like Sunday at 10 a.m. and it's
Saturday,
like 28,000 people in the stands, and who cares? And for, I mean, at the minimum, if you're going to insist on doing this thing, put the games on campus.
I think that's where we're going. I think that's why the series is going to stop.
Yeah, enough with playing at Broncos Stadium at Mile High. I never asked you about what you thought about that foolishness, too, by the way.
What was that?
They can't get a sponsor for the stadium.
I don't know if they can or they don't want to.
Mm.
Not right now.
Why not just call it Mile High Stadium?
They do.
No. Nope, they don't.
They call it at Mile High.
They don't call it Mile High. Why don't they just call it Mile High Stadium? They call it Broncos Stadium at Mile High. Because they want to just make it, you know, Gatorade Stadium at Mile High or, you know, Chick-fil-A Stadium at Mile High. Or Telephone Stadium. I'm just looking at things in front of me. Lamp Stadium at Mile High.
This is not Sports Authority.
Dude, we played there for 2 years when Sports Authority didn't even exist. We were calling it for two seasons Sports Authority when you couldn't get a tennis ball at a Sports Authority. We've had some goofy things going on that are just kind of weird.
The stadium naming deal is a little
off. Hey, I got an idea. Let's call it Sports Authority and Stadium and paint it red. Wouldn't that be awesome? Do you remember that?
No.
There's a room, the press room, where the players get up at the podium.
I never did understand that.
The entire back wall, which is huge, is painted red.
Because those were the colors of Sports Authority, but who cares when it's your stadium?
Exactly. It was one of the most insane things that was allowed of all time. We had the colors outside and inside of our stadium, the same colors as the Kansas City Chiefs. So we got a lot of different things going on today. I believe it was 106 degrees. I saw 106, Al, at one point. Did we break any records today?
No.
John Elway's birthday is today. Happy birthday, John Elway. He's 52 or 51 or, you know, something like that. And the big three is coming up next.
Sandy Clef here to tell you about SCL Mortgage Special Circumstance Lending, locally owned and operated. And if you're self-employed or work on commission, this is the place for you. Bank statement loans are back. You don't need tax returns to do your loan. In some cases, the bank statement loans can be done with credit scores in the low 600s. MySpecialMortgage.com on the web, 303-790-2222. The phone number, SCL Mortgage, licensed by the Colorado Department of Regulatory Agencies, number 1200716.
All right, here we go. Story numero uno. Alfred, Von Miller had his camp. Now, his camp is for all sorts of pass rushers. It's not just for Broncos guys, but man, this thing's becoming bigger and bigger and bigger. He's getting big turnout and big names and sponsorship and all this sort of stuff. Al, how effective is the Von Miller camp? What purpose do you think it serves, and what do you think of it overall?
What I think is that when you are dealing with the greatest players in the game, and the greatest players in the game can reach out and call the greatest players who have ever been part of the game, and they show up for you. I mean, Bruce Smith and the, you know, who's got the most sacks in NFL history showed up for Von Miller. And the guy who is a Hall of Famer and known as a train wreck inside, and Warren Sapp, showed up for Von Miller. I'm telling you right now, this thing has legs. And not only does it have legs, it's also given the former athletes that have once played in this league a chance to go and help some of the other guys where there was no opportunity before now. So I look at this as not only just Von Miller having a camp, but D-Mac, I look at it as something totally different than just the camp. It's a reintroduction to of great players to young players.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that has never existed in any large fashion or form. And I think what Von has just done has opened up the floodgates for more intellectual conversations and technique teaching from older guys who have played the game to younger guys who want to learn how to play the game. It's something that we always talk about, and it never gets done because coaches like to hire their friends, and the greatest players have a little more information to give than maybe the coaches do.
When's the Case Keenum camp for Broncos receivers going to be?
I don't know about that. I don't know if there will ever be a Case Keenum camp for the receivers, but if, you know, if Aaron Rodgers was to have a camp and he invited John Elway, well, John couldn't go in his current capacity, but just say Brett Favre is there, and you get guys like Marino or Kelly to show up, maybe even Boomer Esiason shows up, and they talk through the quarterback position. See, you understand what I'm saying? It's just never been anything like this, you know, because baseball does a great job of reintroducing their former players baseball.
I think what Von does is completely unique.
This is
completely
great, man. I mean, I'm so excited and hyped about it.
Legacy building for Von.
Oh, I'm so hyped and excited about it that I think it's going to have legs, and we're going to have more of these, and it won't just be for outside linebackers.
Bongos.
Three!
And here we have a moment where we are going to have free agency here soon in the NBA. Paul George has opted out of his contract, and we've been told that there are more conversations about Kawhi Leonard joining the Lakers. There's also rumors out there that LeBron James joins the Lakers if Kawhi Leonard joins the Lakers. But nobody's really talking about what happens if Paul George joins the Lakers. Is that enough for LeBron to go? We haven't heard anything that said that LeBron would be just okay with Paul George. We've heard several conversations about Kawhi Leonard and LeBron James. Is Paul George enough to bring LeBron James to Los Angeles?
I don't think so.
Right. He doesn't have a championship pedigree. He hasn't been in the big moments and played outstanding championship-style basketball before in his career. He's a great player.
Well, frankly, if LeBron's looking to do that, why wouldn't he just stay in Cleveland? At this point, it doesn't make sense to me that LeBron goes somewhere to try to get other players. It makes more sense that he just goes somewhere where there are already great players.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think that if he can convince a guy like Chris Paul, by the way, who's having some issues there in Houston. Chris Paul, I was told that that the ownership group there in Houston, who promised CP3 a $200+ million contract, they sold that team. We have a new owner who we don't know whether or not he's into giving CP3 a $200 million contract for a guy in his mid-30s. So it's if you can get Chris Paul, you get Kawhi Leonard, and LeBron James to go, then you have something.
Okay. Bongos.
What a
bunch of underdogs. I hope it all happens for him. I'd feel so good for him. John Schmoltz made it to the Senior Open, which is an amazing accomplishment. But Alfred, he shot 15 over today. Yee. So, is it worth it to play when you go out there and you kind of stink it up?
Is it worth it to play? Yes, it's worth it to play because...
It's not too humiliating to shoot an 85?
No, I mean...
I mean, it's pretty bad.
It's humbling is what it is.
It's humbling. And he wasn't the only one, by the way. There were...
What was the low score?
The course is set up very difficult. 2-under is a low score. Rocco Mediate is in a three-way tie. So 2-under is you know, that. And he's 15 over. Still worth it?
Yeah, I mean, but I think John Smoltz said something that I thought was really deep, and he might want to take it back. He said that this is his greatest accomplishment of his entire life.
What, like, qualifying for the U.S. Open?
Yeah.
Senior Open?
I'm like, really? I mean, you just...
Didn't he win a World Series and make the Hall of Fame as a pitcher?
Dude, I mean, I can't, you know, every when he said the statement, all I thought was, you just degraded your entire Major League Baseball career.
We can discuss that coming up here in a little bit.
I can't believe he said that this was his this is his greatest moment as an athlete.
Bongos.
Three!
When we come back, I understand you've got some ideas for how to get the Nuggets together. Is that right? Are you feeling confident about the Nuggets?
Am I feeling confident? Yeah, we get LeBron James.
Okay, we'll get to that coming up next.
Six.
Rockies are leading the Giants 7-5 in the top of the seventh. DJ LeMahieu with a two RBI single, driving in Iannetta and Cuevas. So here we go, right? Let's go, Rockies! Last night they lost 1-0 on a walk off, which was, you know, a little disappointing.
I'm just excited. I mean,
yeah, that's the guy who hit it. Here's the call.
High drive. Right field. It is.
Yeah, well, you got it. So hopefully they can pull it out here today. We'll follow the game as we go. It is not on TV that I can see. Kyle and the gang back there, they got a great view of it. You guys are, you're kicking back. You got on your Hawaiian shirts.
Arnado, in case you're wondering how many double plays he's hit into this year, he's hit into 8.
Is this part of the live broadcast?
Oh.
Pretty sure we're not allowed to do that, Kyle,
yeah.
But thanks, pal.
It wasn't local.
are we allowed to? I don't think we're allowed to. Well, I don't know.
The things
I don't know could sink a tanker.
Do you have the MLB at bat?
Yeah.
Do you?
But I don't have the TV. I don't have the expensive version of it. My son does, but I don't have the expensive version. I've got the version where you can only get like the radio broadcast. You can't, you know, see the video of the games.
Oh, okay.
But my son has it and it's awesome because he can watch every single game on his laptop. Right. Is that what you have?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's awesome.
And that's how I go through the games.
Yeah. So you can watch it.
Yeah.
You're watching it right now.
I'm about to pull it up.
We just have an interesting situation here as a sports talk radio station where we have a TV in the studio that doesn't have all the networks that have sports. Now, if I want to hear the history of World War II in Spanish, I can go to multiple stations. El Biblioteca Television will, you know, I think that's on 623. But if I want to watch, you know what? Enough of my complaining. Al, you say LeBron James. Where's your head with free agency, by the way? What are you thinking about?
Well, I mean,
my guess is the Nuggets barely do anything, and they sign Jokic to a max contract, and away we go.
Well, I think what they have been trying to do, and this is the part about being the Denver Nuggets that you get frustrated with. Okay, what the Nuggets have been trying to do is sign Will Barton, right? They've tried to sign him at two separate times, and the first time that they did, D-Mac, the offer was a great offer, and I thought it was a great offer because who is Will Barton? He's a guy who's
pretty slick player.
He's gotten a lot better. Right? He's gotten a lot better, but is he a guy that you think about as a rising star in this league?
Yeah, Will Barton, sure.
Will Barton is like rising to what level?
Oh gosh, I don't know. I think him and Gary Harris are kind of on that same.
Gary Harris is totally different, but I think Will Barton is.
I think the level would be about the same, sort of that potential all-star level. You don't think Will Barton's a potential all-star?
No.
Well, I do. I think Gary Harris is a potential all-star.
I think Gary Harris is, but Will Barton, I don't look at him that same way.
Well, who do you look at Will Barton as?
He's a 27-year-old.
Why do you bring up Will Barton anyways?
Because this is their number one priority. The Nuggets offered Will Barton a four-year, $42 million extension in October.
Well, they think he's a potential all-star.
Okay, and then again, they revisited him to see if he could, wanted to sign the deal. And
Will Barton make more money than Von Miller?
At $10 million a year, no.
No.
No. But I mean,
joking.
You know, he had 15 points last year, four assists. And was roughly around better than 50% from the field.
That's pretty good.
Not bad. Much better than, I mean, this is the deal that, you know, we should be expecting from Kenneth Faried.
Oh, well, Kenneth Faried can't get on the floor.
No, he cannot. But Will Barton is the guy that's been offered that contract.
What's wrong with that?
And he said that he's going to hit free agency.
Well,
D-Mac,
okay.
I don't think that he's going to get more than the NBA veteran mid-level exception, which is $8 million a year.
Right.
If Will Barton is trying to get out of Denver, what does that signal?
Oh, he's not trying to get out of Denver. He's just trying
he's
just trying to get paid.
Dude.
He's trying to make money. He's not trying to get out of Denver.
$42 million if getting paid if you are Will Barton.
Well, if you can become a free agent and see what the market bears, why wouldn't you?
He's not going to get more than 4 years and $42 million.
Well, maybe he thinks he is. Obviously, he thinks he could. How do you know he can't?
We're going to find out. I mean, the guy turned down the offer twice. I mean, I don't.
Was the offer still on the table?
I don't know. I mean, okay. Free agency starts officially, Sunday or so?
Well,
I mean, this weekend?
I don't know if anybody's worried about Will Barton.
Okay. I guess you don't look at him like a guy that could be an all-star then.
I do. He could be a potential all-star, sure.
How could he be an all-star if you're not worried about him? I mean, if this was a Joker, you would be a little more concerned, right?
I'm not worried about him at all. He's going to get signed to a max deal and be here for a long time.
Who?
The Joker.
We'll see about that one, too.
He's the defining player
until the ink is on the paper, I don't believe it.
Dude, we got Jamal Murray. We got Gary Harris. We got the Joker. We'll probably sign Will Barton again. If not, we'll get somebody like him.
But that's the Nuggets' priority right now.
It's not a matter of him wanting to get out of Denver, though.
Why else would he not just take that deal?
Because he thinks he could get more money someplace else, and he's willing to hear those offers.
Dude, I mean, that is a gamble and a half. When I tell you that's a gamble, I'm telling you that it would be like Carmelo Anthony saying right now.
What do you mean gamble? It's millions of dollars one way or the other. What's a gamble?
A gamble is saying that I'm going to, you know, what didn't happen for Carmelo Anthony is that he did not say that I am going to gamble on whether or not somebody can pay me $28 million.
Alfred, these guys, this is Monopoly money.
It's not for him.
These guys have all,
it's not for Will
they've
Barton.
All already made it. They've all already made it. So there's no risk in figuring out if there's somebody who's going to pay me even more money. Because somebody's going to pay you a lot of money, no matter what. He's making $12 million, he's making $8 million, whatever. He's making millions.
Yeah. Oh, so a $4 million per year difference, a $16 million deal over 4 years, a $16 million loss is no big deal?
I think he can still afford whatever he wants at Chipotle on Tuesday night. I think he's going to be fine.
Oh, okay, that's the way you look at it.
Yeah, kind of.
Okay.
When it comes to this stuff, yeah. He's a mid-level player who's rising. It'd be great if he could really perform well and be an all-star. That'd be amazing.
He's made $12 million in his career.
Well, that's pretty good.
Yeah, it's a solid deal. The Nuggets signed him to that deal a few years ago. And
do you think the key to free agency for the Nuggets is Will Barton?
He's their top priority, D-Mac.
Well, then free agency is going to be pretty boring for the Nuggets.
We came within one game with him playing major minutes and being a huge part of this team's success. And now you say that the guy is a potential all-star. Yeah. I don't believe that, but I think he's a solid player.
Well, they believe it. They obviously believe it.
$10 million a year, and he's going to gamble. I wouldn't. If I was him, I wouldn't get. He's not.
Maybe he believes in. Maybe he believes in himself a little bit more than he.
That's what he said. He already said. He came out on Twitter and everything and said that he's always going to bet on himself.
Well, good for him.
But I'm like, well,
he's the anti-Mello.
$15 million. I mean, wow. 4 year, $42 million deal.
Well, what's
and you're going to hit free agency?
Yeah.
I can't wait.
Are you just upset because you picked the wrong sport? Is that?
Oh, no, no. I'm happy for all the guys. I'm happy for all the guys.
Can I ask you a tough question?
You got to know your market value.
Can I ask you a tough question?
What's going on? Go ahead.
Did you make $12 million in your entire NFL career?
Yeah.
How much did you make?
I don't know. I'm quite sure it's out there somewhere.
But it's definitely more than 12?
I don't know. I think it's maybe. Maybe.
Does it kill you? You just came along just.
No.
I mean, just a little too early.
You know what, man?
Just a little too early.
I'll tell you who.
Better than the older guys, but just little too early.
But the guys like Carl Mecklenburg, like those guys.
Yeah, I mean,
those
guys got to work. They got to work a day job.
Even like the great Dennis Smith, man, can you imagine what he would be worth in today's football dollars? Yeah. But just think about it this way. In 10 years, those numbers are going to be much different than they were 20 years ago. I mean, I'm not upset about it, but I'm just saying every now and then, it's like that conversation we were having with Jarvis Mouse. Well, at least I was having with Jarvis Mouse. Look, man, the money's there. Take the money, okay? Will Barton, I don't think, is going to get another offer for anything better than 3 year, $24
million. You know, Al, they make a lot of money. But they spend a lot of money, too. Got to keep that in mind.
That's a bold, bold move. Bold move by Will Barton. Hitting free agency and not taking them. You know what? I wonder if there's a last-minute offer from the Nuggets for that same four-year, $42 million contract, and this time he says yes.
Small hands. An issue with our quarterback. See, you thought I was going to say something else. That comes up next.